Connor, we haven't gotten your thoughts. Obviously, we haven't talked to you this offseason, but about the Big Bang, can we call it that? Or we got to give it like a nickname of the Bergeron.
The Big Bergeron Crazy Bang.
Let's call it a legacy sequel.
The rhyme in there. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Brews and Bruins podcast, episode 90.
I think so.
Of season three?
I think.
Season three soon ending.
Which feels like
ending.
Too many episodes for one season. Like, why are we doing these, sticking 90 of them in there, you know?
Well, you know, we have to do two episodes a week. Thanks, DraftKings. And the Hockey Podcast Network. And Bruins diehards, Pride diehards, Miller Lite, free advertising. We have Connor Ryan here, and we also have Kat Silverman, and we may see an Izzy at one point, I was told.
She's watching Australian gymnastics movies, so.
She's also feeling a little humbled after spilling orange juice on my keyboard. during our last recording,
it was a tough time out last performance, but you know, everybody gets speed bag once in a while. You got to go out there for 60 next game. You know, we'll have Izzy back soon. It's all right.
But Connor, how you doing? It's been a while since we've had you on. How you doing?
How's your summer? Swell. It's going very well. I'm glad that the Bruins decided to wait a few weeks and then just knock out everything within the span of one day. Made things hectic for a couple of days, but now back to the tail end of the summer, relaxing a little bit. So nothing overly eventful other than Bergeron and Krejci coming back and all that fun stuff. How are you guys all doing?
Oh, wonderful.
Doing well. We're still fixing up the house.
It's an ongoing process.
Yeah, it's... Truly, I believe every homeowner has told me that it is a never-ending process, but I didn't fully believe it until we started doing it. So,
yeah, that's why I'm just never going to buy a house.
I probably never.
Among another number of other reasons.
Number one
right
reason
before inflation hit. That
yeah, that's the only reason. That's it.
Iconic.
Just that.
Cam, I see you're sipping on something over there.
I am.
What art thou drinketh?
Going back to a fan favorite, it's been a while, the Baxter Coastal Haze IPA. I haven't had this, I think, since like maybe last fall. It's one of my favorite beers that you can find pretty much anywhere in Maine, maybe, I think, throughout New England. It's just a really consistent, delicious IPA. It's not too hoppy. It's not hoppy enough. Like, it's got the hoppy flavor you want in an IPA, but it's not punchy in the face hoppy. It's smooth. It's citrusy. It's just, I don't know what else to say besides a go-to classic IPA. It does pass the Drew test, though, I think. Depending on how big the glass is, I can barely make out Drew, so it's not terribly hazy. But it is delicious. Drinkability, quite high for an IPA. I'm going to give it a 29. Tasteability, a 34. And an excellent 34 right there. Drew, you are scaring the shit out of me.
You got to do the Drew test with the light.
Oh, with the light? For the
can you
lighting.
See my pores?
I can't see your pores. I think it's partially the glass, too, because there's some weird refraction going on here. But, yeah, this is from Austin Brewworks or something like that in Austin, Texas. The glass, not the beer. The beer's from Maine. Somebody else pick it up. I don't know.
Corona Refresca.
Yo, hey. Yo. I was off my rocker in North Carolina.
We saw.
Yeah, I had these on the pod before. They're, you know, basically like a little, I don't know. Is there even beer in this? It's just like
a
cocktail.
It's a malt liquor.
Yeah.
It's a malt beverage.
Kind of like a cocktail. This one is the coconut lime. Version.
Okay.
Yeah. Tastes like coconut. Highly tasteable.
That's real good.
It's like a 34 tasteability. And then drinkability, 4.5% alcohol. I could see like after a couple of them, maybe like a little too sweet. So take some points away from that. But it's also really drinkable. I'll give it a 31.
Doesn't have as bad of an aftertaste as some malt beverages do, which is kind of nice. I'm drinking the same thing, but the passion fruit lime. Bought these so that Iz could have her two favorite people over.
First
which is,
drink.
some of our good friends are also her good friends, and she invited them over for a party on Sunday. And then went a little too hard at the beach on Saturday and dehydrated herself and could not have people over. So we just have a fridge full of drinks that we bought for adults that were coming over to hang out with a child.
Yep.
So
nice.
Hell yeah.
Connor.
So I got the went up to Hill Farmstead Brewery, way up in Vermont. I was gonna say Stowe, but it's kind of that dangerous part of Vermont where you get up to Stowe and it's like 3.5 hours, and then you realize you're not there yet, and you put in Google Maps and it's like you are 11 miles away from Hill Farmstead, but it's going to take you like 70 minutes to get there. So I'm like, what treacherous like Oregon Trail like path are we going on here?
Some real bird standards territory.
Yes, exactly. So took quite a while to get there. Was absolutely worth it. Very small operation, but I'm going with their American Imperial IPA called Abna. All their beers, I believe, are named after members of the family. So they have a very long biography of Abner, the great-grandfather. It's kind of like a Tolkien chapter, so I'm not going to read all of it. But most importantly, it is very very tasty and very I would probably say tasteability and drinkability. I'll give them both 33. I'll give it a nice char. This is a good char.
See,
beer, right?
Char of the big reach. What a huge pirouette. And the big man scores. An incredible move. 6'9", and he's a ballerina.
Exactly. I did not know you guys could do that, and I was rattled for a second that I just got thrown on another channel.
I'm not sure we can.
But I highly endorse this. A good 33. Good charabia.
Good Lord. I love that Drew's just always ready to interrupt our guest with the most jarring Jack Edwards shit.
Dude, it was so loud, dude. It was just Jack screaming in my face.
Oh, my God.
It
scared the shit out of me, and I know it's possible. I can't even imagine what you
want. I got to put the volume down on those things, but I don't know how, so it'll never happen. Lord. Sorry for the scare.
Over here.
Yeah. Keeps me on my toes, Drew. I appreciate it.
I have here a fruit smash. We got to add in a smashing sound effect after that. Fruit smash. super hard seltzer. So it's an 8%. Wild watermelon is the flavor. Yeah. And for 8%, you cannot taste the extra 3% from what
like
is usually
Smirnoff
5%.
Ice.
What?
That just sounds like a Smirnoff Ice. Like the flavor, the description.
Yeah. The watermelon in drinks, I don't usually like too much, but the taste is really light. It definitely tastes more like you're having a regular old seltzer water, which is dangerous. So I'm going to say the drinkability is 36, just so I don't have to press the Bergeron button and scare everyone again. Tasteability, though. Tasteability, though, that's going to be an 11, Trent, Fred, Eric, and I don't have one for him yet, but trying.
That's it's a not that bloody.
Woo! Woo! Anyway, moving onward from drinks.
DraftKings. The action never ends at DraftKings Sportsbook, especially this summer with tons of ways to bet on all your favorite sports. You can fuel your fandom and feel the heat and feel the sweat of the season like never before. Plus, right now, DraftKings Sportsbook is giving new customers a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's right, make your first bet up to $1,000, and if it doesn't win, you'll get another shot to cash in. You can throw down on all the major action for baseball, golf, MMA, and more. Plus, with same-game parlays, spreads, money lines, over-unders, and props, your betting options feel endless. Please talk about an upcoming game of your choice, matchup slash pairings that interest you, who you'll be keeping an eye on, who may most excites you, etc. How about them Red Sox, dude? Them Red Sox are playing baseball. Best of all, DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. You can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN. Make your first deposit and get a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's promo code THPN. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
Connor, we haven't gotten your thoughts. Obviously, we haven't talked to you this offseason, but about the Big Bang. Can we call it that? Or we got to give it like a nickname of the Bergeron.
The Big Bergeron Crazy Bang.
Let's call it a legacy sequel.
Electric Boogaloo?
That's the term that's hot in the streets in cinema now. So.
The cosmos. But just overall thoughts on Bergeron and Krejci being back and what this means for this year's team.
Yeah, I was not surprised when as soon as the Bruins decided to have fun on Twitter and just send like random still photos or like winking GIFs. At that point, it was pretty much mapped out for a while now. And when you look at it, Frenner's the only realistic option they had, right? It wasn't, you know, as much as people talk, I think, really early on in the offseason where you're dealing with the drama of, like, Cassidy getting fired. Is David Pastrnak won out, and is he miserable? People go through the other scenarios like, oh, they should just tank. You know, they should get Connor Bedard or anything like that, which is never going to be realistic, obviously, when you just look at the fact of the way the rest of the roster is built, all these things. So what other option was there other than kind of running it back with an established core of veterans that at the very least you kind of know what you're going to get out of them, right? Like, I don't think this was a team that, obviously, if let's say the Bergeron and Krejci don't come back and you're trying to, you know, cobble together this roster where Charlie Coyle and Eric Hall are your 1C and your 2C, if that's the kind of path they took, not great. So your options were either rebuild when you don't have a bad enough roster to realistically get a top 10 pick, you know, top five, definitely not top five, but so you can't fully tank. You don't want to just be stuck in that awful no man's land of, all right, we're probably going to stink, but we're going to hover around like, you know, that 12th, 13th, 14th overall pick, something like that. So what other option was there? It was running it back with a guy in Bergeron who even at his age had one of his best, if not his best season ever. And a guy in David Krejci who, even though I think people talk about, oh, he played, like, what are people saying? Like, he played like Farmers over in the Czech League. He's still really good. And, like, you even look at the way he played, like, in the World Championships, and you put him with, let's say, the line next year is Taylor Hall and David Pastrnak. Pretty good second line. Like, this team definitely has some holes. You definitely need a lot to go your way. But, you know, it was one of those things where I talked about this before in terms of how this team looks. And I'm going through all these things like, well, they need, like, Swayman to take a step forward. They need DeBrus to build off this year, but it kind of feels like that's every team though, right? Like, you look at how long a season is, how much you need to go right. It's not like the Bruins are some special case where you have to check off 15 things that has to go in the right direction for them to be a contender. Like, are they a top tier team like Colorado? No, but they're in the mix, right? And I think you look at the way the roster is, sometimes all it kind of takes is being in that mix to go on a run. Cause I think there's a lot to like about the baseline, I guess, of how this roster is being built out for right now.
I feel like the Bruins are a very solid, like, B to B plus team right now, which is fine going into the season. And I think it's a little concerning maybe with the health issues that they have. But overall, I feel like going in with that and then seeing what you got, and if things are going well, then you can try to make that move at the deadline or something. And, you know, obviously that's a long way out right now. But I don't know, like Connor said, what other options do you have? Like, you're either not good enough to be, or you're not bad enough to be good, bad, you're going to be stuck in that no man's land where, you know, you might as well just get rid of it or try to run it back. So, Connor, I am interested to hear your thoughts. Like, what was your reaction to, like, the timeline there? Because I know we were kind of talking about it every week, like, not a huge rush, figure it out, you know, that stuff. But obviously, like, we're getting into late July and stuff. It was starting to get a little bit late. Did you ever kind of have that little doubt? Like, oh, man, are, like, do they have a plan, or are they waiting on something, or did you kind of feel like it was just going to be, you know, status quo and more of the same?
Yeah, I think for Bergeron, it was pretty much set in stone that I imagined when it was dragging on for a few weeks, I thought the biggest hurdle, which it turns out to be the case, was just kind of, I think, talking out that the language of those contracts, the bonus overages, and kind of, you know, manipulating that and essentially pushing it to next season, which I think they were trying to find that number. Even when, like, they announced the Krejci deal, I was still expecting probably a higher base salary of what it was. So I think it's kind of getting that, you know, bridging that gap and finding that common ground in terms of like, all right, we're going to give you, you know, money's going to be pushed into next year, at least in terms of how we're going to manipulate it. But like, you look at Bergeron's, what, it's his 2.5 kicks in off of playing 10 games. Like, these aren't things where it's going to be necessarily large hurdles to get them, those incentive laden, you know, parts of their contract. So I think that was the biggest challenge in terms of just finding that common ground. But I also, like, in the back of your head, you get to like 3 weeks post Sweeney, you know, at the draft being like, yeah, it's going to be fine. And you're like, all right, I think Bergeron's back, but like David Krejci, you never know, right? Like, he had the time of his life last year, going back home, you know, being with his family again, playing in the Czech league. He even kind of talked about it during his first media availability with us that, you know, I think he's excited to be back. It wasn't any, a thing where he was, you know, that was a chapter of his life that he could check off that he did and he was ready to move on. Like, he loved, you know, being in that spot, and what I think pro athlete who's been away from home for so long wouldn't, you know, share that kind of sentiment. So it wouldn't have surprised me if he decided to go back or something like that. I didn't think it was going to be a situation where he was going to sign with like the Carolina Hurricanes or anything like that, because people were talking about how he's in South Carolina or anything like that. But that was one we were kind of worried about in terms of whether he would go back to Europe, which again would not have really surprised me. But I think when you look at just the situation in place with playing with Bergeron again, playing with David Pastrnak, which he mentioned, and the fact that it does kind of have the feeling of that last dance or that finality in terms of what this current team is, even if just for 1 year, I guess it's kind of too good of an offer for a guy like Krejci to pass up.
Yeah, this team isn't like one of those. It's not like the Penguins or the Caps where like everyone's just kind of going, all right, this is the year that they finally die.
Right.
This is not a team that's built around one aging player or two aging players. It's kind of the peaks are all kind of staggered. So, I mean, they've got Pastrnak and McAvoy who are still there. So, like, no matter what happens, this team isn't going to be in contention for the number one pick. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because that was something that was percolating on Twitter for a while. Yeah, I keep bringing this up, but last year there was a certain period of time where both Ullmark and Swayman got hot, and the Bruins were the best team in the league. And it's easy to look back and be like, all right, well, if Krejci was on that team, we're talking about an entirely different season. And I mean, also worth mentioning, I don't think there were many people among Bruins fans who were mad at him for doing that. Like, that's totally reasonable thing for him to do. And, but I don't know, he's a year younger than Bergeron. Like, he's kind of a similar type of player where he's not relying on speed and quickness and stuff. So like the things that normally go for players, he plays a smaller version of a Jágr type game. And that's something that ages pretty well. So I'm not super concerned. I'm a little concerned about health for both him and Bergeron, just because they're older and they haven't been the most they haven't been blessed with the best health of hockey players. But I don't know. I'm looking at the roster. I'm like, there have been improvements made, and you get Krejci back, like with Taylor Hall full season, I hope, and finally getting to play with Pastrnak for a full season. That looks awesome to me.
Like, I do wonder, when we talk about the health, Connor, have any of the players talked about, essentially, we're, what, 2 years removed from having just, like, a full season stoppage halfway through the year, and players essentially were hovering in this holding pattern for, what, 6 months there, and then they were brought back in a weird condensed situation with an unideal they were not ideal schedules for every single team, and every team thought that they had the worst of it. And I think the Dallas Stars ended up winning that war. We have to be to a point where a lot of those start and stop related injuries have to be sort of leveling out, right? So can we assume that there's going to be a little bit of a health improvement, not just for the Bruins, but sort of league-wide, just because of that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's something that especially a guy like Brad Marchand's been super vocal about that throughout, as you said, with how unpredictable, how odd the schedule has been for the last two plus years, pretty much. Marchand's been the guy who has always been very upfront of his opinion on things. So I remember, I think it was coming back from going up to the bubble after the season was first paused. He was like, this is going to be terrible because everyone's going to have soft tissue injuries. Like, we've only been practicing for a few weeks. We go up there. We're going right into, like, you know, playoff style hockey. Yeah, they had boys like those few scrimmages that decided, like, seeding. All right, we're not going to take that seriously because we're still trying to get more or less warmed up. And then we go right into a playoff style atmosphere. So I think for especially just guys who, you know, obviously you have Marchand and these guys who are recovering, which I think the fact that we're getting back on a somewhat normal schedule should help a little bit in terms of giving them more time to rehab. But I think just the guys who go through the regular wear and tear of a season, that even if, you know, during breakup day, you're not talking about you have to undergo surgery, all those guys are obviously banged up and give them time to rest. So I think going back to the traditional, you know, 82 games, a set schedule, it's not we're bumping it into late October or anything like that, and, you know, pushing the postseason into July or anything. It should help out in terms of getting guys maybe back acclimated to what we've seen in years past before. Obviously, everything kind of went upside down, to put it lightly.
Yeah, you'd say that for sure.
Yeah, so it's easy to forget that last year was kind of fake too, just because it was the most normal of the last several seasons. But right. Yeah,
it was still,
there were several week periods where the Bruins had like four back-to-backs, and it's just like
the built-in off week.
A few of these.
Right. For one reason.
Right. They pushed that over. Then they pretty much had like the second half of December pretty much off.
Yeah.
And then you push all those extra games. So it was one of those ones where I remember at the beginning of the year, there were so many games early on that, or it was the fact the Bruins didn't really play that much. I'm getting like the whole schedule messed up now, but they barely played in October. You know, like, all right, like this team's like waiting to go and go. And then they're pretty much sprinting to the finish line. And it's like, all right, you're not really in the right frame of mind to then go and play a team that plays with the pace like Carolina after you play what was that absurd kind of schedule they had right before the postseason. So the fact that at least we're getting to a point where this season, I think it's similar in that I think right around late March, early April, it ramps up a little bit, but not to the degree of last year where you had to pretty much everyone had to juggle their schedule around just to deal with kind of those COVID stoppages, which we hope it's not going to be the case this year. Hopefully. So fingers crossed.
Knock on wood.
Yes.
Or monkeypox stoppages. That either.
Oh. Yes. Cam Jones. Please.
Just something I wanted to get in because, me, Chris, and Cam have talked a lot about the Krejci and Bergeron stuff over the past year, basically. But it's something that's been mentioned or brought up a couple times about like the tanking and not ever really being able to have that first overall pick. Like for the people who were calling for tanking, like, I mean, whether you have Bergeron and Krejci or not, I mean, like we've said, it was kind of like Bergeron was likely, Krejci was a wish and nice to have, and it wound up happening. But like you have McAvoy and Pastrnak in their prime, you have Swayman coming up, who, I mean, maybe not this year, but in a couple of years is probably just going to be known league-wide as a solid starter at the very least, the way he's progressing. And you have a bunch of young players in this depth, and it's not those guys might not – they're likely not the guys who are going to stick around and be franchise players like we hope Swayman and Pastrnak and McAvoy are. But you still have them in your prime. Why would you tank when you already, like, teams that tank don't have those two key pieces. They're trading their McAvoy and their Pastrnak to reset.
The people Bruins who are calling for tanking point. Haven't haven't taken a look at the roster of the teams that are tanking. Like, I don't think they fully realize what a tanking roster looks like.
No, it's when you get rid of your Jack Eichel. Like, you get rid of your Jack Eichel when you're tanking. You know, like
that's when you're not a Vegas top five favorite. You're tanking. That's how it works.
Yeah,
it's also
it's a new trend.
Yeah, you know, like you even look at teams that traditionally have had, you know, like a big market and a winning culture or something. Look at Detroit as to like how long it's taken them. And it's like, if you're a Bruins fan and you're already not probably the most patient bunch in terms of waiting for prospects to map out, and you went in, let's say you went into the year and you didn't have Bergeron and Krejci, and it's like, all right, we're hoping that a guy like Sednika pops, which you would, you know, let's say they go into the year and Sednika is like the 2C, which, and you'd have like, you know, that 10% of the Bruins fandom's like, he's finally getting a chance. What if he's just not that guy? Like, and then all of a sudden you're back to square one where you have this kind of black hole in a top six spot. You don't even have like, you know, Eric Halla there or anything that can kind of be a plug and play type of player. It's like, you're just back to square one. You don't have a deep farm system. So it's one of those ones where I don't think people realize, as much as you want to embrace a youth movement and you want to get new blood in there, and that's exciting, and you look at teams that are, you know, incorporating young talent like Anaheim or something like that. Well, look how, like, look what Anaheim had to do to get those kind of prospects to add them in. Like, it's not fun to watch miserable, no consequence hockey.
Go 8 hours west and see what Buffalo has been doing for the last decade in the division, and you'll get an idea of what it's like.
Yeah,
so.
That's part of it. Look at Buffalo. That's a team that, like you brought up Detroit. That's a team that decided to tank, and it worked. It paid off for them. I mean, they were patient with it, and it took them what, 5 or 6 years, and now they're back in.
And they're still moderate. Not playoff teams,
right? Like
they're like a bubble play. Like they could maybe sneak into a wild card spot now at this point. Like they've got their goalie situation finally figured out, but then look at Buffalo. I mean, that's a team that has a terrifying fan base. Buffalo fans are not the most patient people in the world. They're just more used to sadness, and you know they. That team gambled and it hasn't paid off. I mean, that's the downside of tanking, is sometimes it doesn't work.
Yeah, and they did the tank and they got Jack Eichel and
they traded the guy they tanked for. Yeah,
they have exactly. No ladder to climb back out of the tank, so they're just like stuck in there now.
Who's their best player now? Tage Thompson? Like, what?
Didn't they hear him, or is he still there?
No, he's just there. He had like a 30 goal season. It was fun.
I feel like they're getting better, but I also like I felt like that for the last like 4 years. So I don't know. Who knows? Connor, I do know you got to run kind of soon, but one more question I wanted you to answer that I asked, I think, everyone here last week. But with Krejci, Bergeron now resolved, what do you think is the biggest hole in the lineup that's going to be, you know, aside from injuries, like a fully healthy Bruins team? What's the hole? Oof.
I think it still has to be maybe one more guy. Probably on that third line. Like, I still feel like you need more of a set option there to get more offense out of that group. Now, again, it could be something where it very well pans out that you still need, you know, I think Craig Smith could be a guy that rebounds. I know people mentioned him as a potential trade candidate, even though I still think they look probably more at defense for that in terms of maybe freeing up cap space, but see how that kind of pans out. But whether it's, you know, Coyle, Zacha, Smith, like that's a good group to work with, and you hope that they kind of pop and it works out well because they all have the skill set that should complement each other. But whether it's maybe adding another impact guy in that lineup to, you know, help, because you just look at the way this team's built and how good these rosters have been the last couple of years, what's kind of been one thing that's hampered them every step of the way has been, you know, even strength scoring and it drying up. So I think that's one thing where you still have to look at either on the third line or somewhere else in the lineup, another proven scorer. But we'll see kind of how it all pans out there. You could also very well make the argument about like depth as well, especially defensively. But I would probably say for me, I would go for maybe another proven, again, 15, 20 goal scorer or something like that.
Cam, you're muted.
I'm just going to stay muted. No, I was going to say, I agree. I feel like the Bruins are usually a team that, like, even if they're not stacked on defense, especially with Bergeron and Krejci back, are going to play good team defense. But the issue is scoring sometimes. So I buy into that. Fire Sweeney, hire Connor. Start the hashtag.
Oh, God.
Let's go. Bruins.
You want that job.
all five of you. Let's. I'm kidding. There's more than five people.
This is the five of us on this call. It's
yeah.
Not even
yeah, it really is.
No, we got a nice nation here. Connor, know you got to run, but where can we find your work? Where can all our listeners find your work? And on the socials.
Yes, you can find all my work over at bostonsportsjournal.com. We'll keep you updated throughout this offseason. I'll say a spoiler. I don't think a lot else is going to happen over the next couple of weeks until we get to training camp. I'm going to say that, and Pastrnak will sign tomorrow. So
I'm going to see you heard it here first.
Yes, I will.
I'm not signing before training camp.
Yes,
that was strategy right there. He's
yes, I will gladly take credit. Please reclip that if that happens tomorrow. I'll gladly take credit for it. But if anything happens between now and training camp, you can find all of my content over at bostonsportsjournal.com. Please subscribe there. If you want to follow me on Twitter, you can do that at ConnorRyan_93.
Hell easy, brother Steezy. Thanks as always, man.
This is good to see you, man.
Yeah. Awesome. Great. Thank you, guys.
We'll slide into your DMs again soon. Oh, all right.